What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
There we go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Box Office Breakdown. Yes, we are not on at our normal time today.
Yeah.
We're a little late. We're a little frazzled.
A little bit. A little bit.
Everyone came in from kind of a... rough day, hectic day. Do you want to lament already?
I mean, the Patriots. Listen, it doesn't hurt as bad when you have a team that wins so much. Especially, we won Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. Would hurt so much more if we didn't win Super Bowl last year because you yearn for it more. Because we won last year, like part of me is like, okay, we almost made it, we didn't. But I feel bad for if you were a Redskins fans or a Buffalo Bills fan, you'd be feeling it so much worse.
It was the Gostkowski miss. Yeah. I mean, down 7 there. There was no doubt in my mind that Tom Brady was going to throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
But a 2-point conversion, that's a little much they asked for.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
The thing is, for me, is every year one team gets hit by the injury bug, mm-hmm. and this year it was the Patriots. We lost both of our starting running backs. And our offensive line was decimated. If we were at full tilt...
The good news is Sarah is going to be a New England Patriots cheerleader next year.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I am?
Yeah.
So what's going to happen?
I made a call.
That's been my lifelong dream. I've wanted that so badly.
I think everybody wants that.
Is your hecticness also connected to the Patriots?
No. I'm living an interesting life right now.
Do you want to tell us, or are you going to remain mysterious?
I don't know if I could. I'm legally binded too. I mean, it's going to be very interesting.
So if you don't show up next week, should we send out a search party?
No, I'm not going to jail or anything like that. But I mean, there's a lot to. I'm going to have to dress nice for a couple of suits for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, before we get started on talking about this weekend's box office. Which should be an interesting conversation. Yeah. I do want to shout out to our wonderful Dylan Esposito for always being there. You are the best. And he has a little bit about our winners from this week, from everyone who played along with us, predicted, and did some guessing games. Unfortunately, no one went 5 for 5 this week.
Not even Boss Turner?
No one.
That guy's on fire.
Well, maybe Boss Turner just didn't turn in his thing.
Let's just say, I think the box office was affected hugely by the snowstorm this weekend. The whole East Coast, it threw everything off.
There was 3 feet of snow over there.
That's all I'm saying. It threw everything off.
It threw the government off.
Yeah.
It's like 3 feet of snow is taller than most dwarfs.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But we do have some winners for the guessing game. The fifth wave guessing game goes to Alex Murasano.
Yeah.
Winning for The Boy is Jacob Henson. And finally, for Dirty Grandpa, we're going to give that to Noah Dameron.
He picked that, right?
Wow.
Yes. And we can get into those numbers because
I went 2 for 5, right?
I don't know what you went. I don't keep track.
I'm pretty sure I went 2 for 5.
Your winnings?
I should have did. I mean, it was dead close.
Speaking of this week's box office, I'm probably going to actually list the top 6 of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
It was one of those where who knows if it was just the snowstorm on the East Coast or more of the dismal reviews that crowded all of this week's new coming films.
The quality was not good.
Grandpa's an 8 on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
Oh, really?
I heard it's pretty funny, though.
I've heard the opposite. I've heard it's not really? Funny at all, and I've heard it actually borderlines traumatizing.
In what kind of way?
Yeah. I don't know. People were traumatized.
I know. What's Bobby doing?
Not
Bobby Finstock, Bobby De Niro.
But, so, nothing that was new this weekend broke the top 3, mm-hmm. but they did break the top 6, starting with the fifth wave, bringing in $10.7 million. Mm. So, 6th spot. Why are you...
you won't see a number 2 or 3 at this.
Oh, no. They'll disappear.
Well, here's the deal. I don't think Chloe Grace Moretz is... I don't think she has the star power. I think that she came on the scene very hard and with a lot of luster. Mm. And I think that's... gone down. They try to put her in Carrie. She's in this. I mean, she's going to be in Neighbors too, but she's not the star.
I think she has star power. I don't think she has star power for this audience.
I don't think.
I think there's actually a lot of beyond the young adult audience that like her.
Yeah, but they're trying to put her in a bunch of other stuff too, and it's not working.
Well, she just got cast, I believe, in Little Mermaid, the live action remake that Disney's doing. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a make or break.
I just don't think she can carry. I don't think she can carry the film. She needs a supporting cast. Neighbors 2 will do gangbusters, but not because of her.
We'll get into more about...
She was a good Equalizer.
We're going to get more into the Fifth Wave in a second.
Supporting role.
Yeah. First, we're going to go through the rest of the list. With the number 5 spot, The Boy, bringing in $11.2 million. Mm-hmm. There's your horror for the weekend. Then going up to number 4, Dirty Grandpa, bringing in $11.5. So really close. Really close. The numbers also horrible reviews.
8%.
Yep, right along too, staying in the top 5 with the number 3 spot this week. It dropped 63%.
It's an astronomical drop off.
I've heard nothing but bad things about this movie.
Well, the only thing was a lot, like 80% of their audience was in the Eastern Seaboard, which was devastated to this weekend. So
yeah,
and bringing in, and that did have 12.9 million. Star Wars dropped 45% down to 14.2, and Revenant took the top spot of the week. Yeah. It's its fifth week in theaters, bringing in 16 million even.
Still good money. I mean, look, you know, without the snowstorm, I think you see a 2 in front of the Revenant. Mm-hmm. Star Wars probably around the same. That's why I predicted Ride Along 2 it be number 2, because without the snowstorm, Ride Along would definitely have been number 2.
I mean,
a 63% drop off is out of this world.
Yeah.
Unless the movie just is really terrible, which we all know it is.
You look at the top 5, only 2 of them are new, and they're the lower of the 5. You have Ride Along 2 in its second week. The other movies that are in their second week, which have been 13 hours, Norman North, completely gone. We'll never see them.
It's a zero.
We're kind of riding through. We're keeping.
Norman North is a zero. It's a zero.
Is it a zero?
It's a zero. I'm telling you, if there was a minus 0, this would get it.
That's
I mean, I can't blame him.
Dirty Grandpa's at 8. That's terrible. What is Bob De Niro doing? Like, is he just totally ruining his legacy as, or is it just like, hey, the people who watch me in the 60s, in the 70s are like 80 now and they don't care anymore?
Maybe.
I mean, is that what's going on here? Because we all know Bobby as, you know, Taxi Driver, you know, Casino and Goodfellas. You know, but when you're doing Dirty Grandpa, The Intern, which was a hit, you know, surprisingly.
The Intern supposedly was really actually good.
It's actually shows some acting chops. But this is something that I just don't know. I mean,
I didn't love Joy, but I thought he was good in it.
But it's this crop of films that it's kind of just shoved into January. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be overlooked. They're the things that didn't typically turn out well. You're sending people to either go catch up on their Oscar movies or to still repeat watch what they saw over the holidays. Mm-hmm. You look at what's coming out, and nothing is breaching like 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I think this is the dog.
Boy
this
has
is the
29.
Dog days of movie. I mean,
Dirty
this,
Grandpa
it's the
has
dog days.
7. Fifth Wave has 18. Like. They're just all.
Bob De Niro is actually not going to the Oscars either.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because he just likes black girls. So
I'm too scared to breach this topic with you.
Why?
Because
let's get into it.
No, it's like
Spike Lee's a loser.
I can't.
Jada Pinkett's irrelevant.
This is gonna be so difficult.
I think, like Ricky Gervais said, you know. Chris Rock should come in like a Ku Klux Klan outfit and then take it off and say it's the only way he got in here. And that's what Ricky Gervais said. I think they're blowing it out of proportion. I think Spike Lee is, I've said it on Twitter earlier this week, I think he likes to stir the pot. He sucks. He wasn't invited anyway. I don't even care if he's getting honorary whatever he's getting. He shouldn't get an honorary nothing. He's a loser. Screw that guy. Just saying.
Tom does not like Spike Lee.
I mean, my thought on this whole thing is the Oscar's so white and this bullshit that's going on. The bottom line is the people who got nominated deserved it. Okay? Does Michael B. Jordan? I love Creed. Does Michael B. Jordan deserve an Oscar nomination for it? No.
There's
Stallone? Yes.
I think there's a couple.
Because he killed it. It was his movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Smith, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
See, Idris Elba, I get it too. But that was a Netflix movie that nobody saw.
I was going to say, and I would say it's very similar for Concussion. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't see Concussion just because the marketing looked horrible.
It is what it is.
I would have given Jackson, the guy who played Eazy-E,
maybe, you know what? That could have been good too. But there's a lot of really good actors this year.
And also the supporting category, I think, for actors was one of the toughest categories of the year. And I do agree that that role deserves some recognition. Mm-hmm. But I also think the little kid from Room should be up there.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
I also probably would have given the kid from Room the Oscar.
Get that guy from Bridge of Spies out of there. I'm sorry.
That's true.
Get him out of there.
He doesn't belong there. He probably did something to get a nomination.
I would have given Idris Elba, Jackson played Eazy-E, or even the kid from Room.
You're 100%.
And I also think that there was room in the Best Picture category for Straight Out of Compton to be acknowledged. I think that should have happened.
I 100% agree with that.
Creed was one of the best reviewed movies of the year.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any real bias
here. Just because it's the best reviewed movie does not mean that it deserves Oscar
credit.
There's
no real bias here. It just is what it is. Hollywood is white, period. That's what it is. It's a Republican party.
Well,
it's a Republican. Until these people are out, then we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
but it's not going to happen until the baby boomers are dead. They're not dead yet.
But you can say that working in production, there is very much a pressure to look for scripts that are diverse. Mm-hmm. I would say definitely in the past year, that is something studios look for. They just aren't made yet.
A lot of
these
geeky writers write for white people. That's what happens. This business sucks, and people need to know about it.
Tom, 2016.
Yeah, it really honestly is. Like, look.
And scripts.
I write screenplays. I write black characters. No, because I'm basically black.
And you can say that scripts that have A-listers attached gets pushed ahead versus scripts that don't have cast attached.
Of course.
And it's a hard thing to get caught up in, to make scripts that make everything more diverse.
It's,
but I think that people are, it's definitely, people are aware of it.
I just think it's blown out of proportion.
And it's blown out of proportion.
The Oscars
diversity
are so white at this point.
Diversity issues or Oscar issues?
I think
or both.
Both at this point. And Campia, who, you know, I have disagreements with at times, made a good point on his YouTube thing the other day.
What?
He basically said it's not about, you know, he believed that the right people got the nods. And it's just like, you know, there's not enough roles for black, you know, actors and actresses at this point. Should have Coogler got the thing for Creed? Maybe. But you also have to pay your dues. It's a goddamn Oscar. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's not like something you get in the streets. It's not like these people get trophies every day for something. I sit there and, you know, it's like James Harrison from the Steelers. Just to throw an analogy out. His kids came back with like a second place trophy. Mm-hmm. He snapped the trophies on his knee, threw them out the window, and said, unless you win, do not bring a trophy in here. Period.
That's some Cobra Kai type stuff.
Yeah, it's true though.
JT, do you want to pitch into this conversation?
Winners win and losers lose.
No, I think
I don't want a second place trophy in my house. You're gonna be like, "Are you a second loser?" It's it. It's done.
Right,
not, I'm not. It's not. I'm angry about this.
Listen, I get it. I understand the Oscar so white thing. I do agree with it, but only because it's a product of what's happening in Hollywood. I think there's not enough projects being made for people of different, not just black, but like Hispanic.
Look at Benicio del Toro. He should have gotten nominated for Sicario.
That's another one. I think it's. Yeah. The problem is at the root, and we're blaming the top.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They got to do some more work.
Who are all white.
Yeah.
Period.
But listen, Creed, Straight Outta Compton, both my top 10 this year. If it was up to me, they'd be nominated for Best Picture.
Absolutely,
well,
but they're not paying their dues. Then why isn't Leo? Why didn't Leo win for everything? Why hasn't won since Departed? He shouldn't even won for that.
Yeah, he should have won for that.
I don't think Leo should win for this. Just pointing that out.
Just saying.
There
you go.
Just throwing that out.
Because it's politics. It always will be, and you know it.
Yep.
I won't commit to it always will be. I will say it is.
I'm looking to get ostracized from this industry, so I'm going to do my best at that.
All right.
I'm not looking to get ostracized, so keep sitting on that side of the table. But I guess now we have to get back to some box office things, because that is the title of our show. So let's go over to the international numbers and see what's going on over there. Oh, also just to let you know, I think it has been confirmed that Monster Hunt is coming to the U.S.
Yeah, it is.
It's coming. If you don't know what we're talking about, Monster Hunt made huge numbers in China. Yeah. It's one of their like highest grossing original properties, I believe. And it is now coming to the U.S. I don't know how wide of a release that will be, but I will be searching it out. International numbers. The Revenant led the weekend's international box office, so as well as the domestic box
it's
office.
Killing it.
It brought in $33.8 million. Mm-hmm. It's in 8,388 locations, which is a lot in 48
locations.
Months.
China, China would be like.
Well, China has 8,367 of those, and then the rest are in Indonesia and so Estonia.
The international total for Leonardo DiCaprio's epic has hit 104 million, plus the 120 million for the U.S. So it's doing pretty 224? Well.
I think that's right.
It said it needed to make 300 worldwide or something.
We need to make like 300 or 400.
It might have been, might have been 400.
Because the budget was way up there.
Wow. But you're saying you didn't like this movie.
The budget, just for the budget alone, is supposedly like 135 plus P&A.
But you didn't like this movie.
I like how it looks.
Okay.
I like
so
how
you think
it
everything
looks.
Is overrated here.
I think The Revenant in general is overrated.
I agree.
I think
with you.
It's a very beautiful film.
Of course,
but
it
that's
is.
It's the strongest legacy.
But why do you
on,
think it's
opinion.
Making so much money? Just because people are putting praise to it?
Praise to it, and like the pressure
the
to see
factor.
It, and the Leo factor,
so
and the
fake.
Fact that I think so many people think that he's going to win.
Yeah, they want to see
and
the
that it's
going to
win, and they like
yes.
want to be like they want to be a part of that.
They want to see what the Ronald Land Oscar.
Like
is.
This movie. Has thrived because of politics.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
100%. Well, that's what it is.
What's really interesting is a lot of people are like, 2 weeks ago after the Golden Globes, everyone's like, The Revenant is like the movie to watch out for Best Picture. This week, The Big Short won the Producers Guild Award for Best Picture. And
which,
usually that mirrors what wins Best Picture.
I mean, look.
So, I mean, that, I was surprised by that. I like The Big Short, but for me, if it wasn't going to be The Revenant, it was Spotlight. Now all of a sudden, it's a three-way race. You throw a Spotlight in.
None of the movies. None of the movies I thought were the best of the year are even nominated. Okay.
My favorite of the year,
which is Machina.
Ex Machina. Yeah.
Compton.
Yeah.
Creed.
Okay.
And I also liked the Shyamalan movie.
The Visit.
Yeah, The Visit.
Oh, I didn't see that
The Gift. That's the one. No, The Gift. The one.
No, The Gift was with which I also liked.
Okay,
with Joel Edgerton and Bateman.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. None of these movies. I don't care less about any of these movies.
Mad Max Fury Road was my favorite of the year.
Yeah.
I would love that.
But
just snuck up there.
It's nominated.
It's nominated for Best Picture
at least.
I would love if it just snuck in.
If it snuck there, I would also be very happy. I would be like, I don't know how that happened, but I would be very happy.
It's a terrible year for movies. This was a terrible year for movies.
It's not a terrible year.
Not anything really good.
Room is really good. Sicario is really good. Ex Machina is really good. Mad Max is really good. Star Wars is super fun. And Creed is super fun.
Any year we get in a Rocky movie is a great year for cinema.
You're right. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I would like to see a Rambo here as well. But, I mean, as for like a clear-cut favor for Best Picture, I don't see one.
There isn't one this year. Last year it was like Boyhood, then Birdman.
Spotlight's good. Yeah. It's not great.
I'm with you.
All right. Well, let's get it's more overrated. Into another movie that we've talked a ton about. And this one is Star Wars. So Star Wars took second place in the international market. It brought in $23.3 million. So internationally, it is now at $1.06 billion.
It's not going to beat Avatar.
Led by the UK, $173.3 million. China, $112 million. Germany, 103.5 million.
Wow.
Yes.
So we're at almost 900 million domestic.
Mm-hmm.
Probably by next week, mid next week, we're at 900. I think I might fall short of my prediction at
it's
a billion.
879, yeah.
I think I'm going to fall short of the billion.
Yep.
My internet connection
unless
died.
They keep it in the theater long enough, which I don't think they will.
I think they could.
But I think they want to make the money on the DVD. I think this will be in the theaters to
no,
March,
I don't think
April.
That's a problem. I think there were repeat
April.
Watchers. No matter if they watched it 10 times in theaters, they're still going to buy the DVD.
But you think
and
this,
then they're going to buy the
they're
fifth
they're going to put deleted
DVD.
Scenes and a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. But do you still think that this has a possibility of getting to a billion domestic?
I don't.
I'm gonna say it tops out at like 945 now.
It's gonna top
which
nine.
Is goddamn close to $1 billion.
Yeah, it's close.
So I'll take it as $1 billion domestic.
There's too many heavy hitters coming up in these next couple weeks, including March. You got Batman v Superman. Then
it came out of the gates so well. I think ultimately, you know, it's not going to be Avatar. Avatar's too big internationally. The international numbers on Avatar are just fucking out of this world. I think it'll take Titanic, though, with another $200 million. So I think Star Wars Awakens is going to be number two. It won't be Avatar.
Avatar did something, man. Like, there was people that were depressed because they could never go to Pandora.
Yeah.
They were, like, clinically depressed.
Yeah, and they killed themselves.
I think
so. Yeah. I don't know if that's accurate. I think that might be a lie.
Well, if they killed themselves, they're better off not being on this earth anymore.
Continuing on the international numbers, the fifth wave actually came in with $15.9 million in 33 international markets. It opened in Russia, Brazil, the UK, and Spain to boost its foreign total to 27.4.
Well, Chloe hits all those markets. She looks a little Russian. She's got like a Brazilian body. She speaks like almost in like a UK tongue.
I think it's more about the genre of the film
and the fact
that they did say it was this whole kind of like alien invasion thing. Mm-hmm. By the way, I actually saw this movie this weekend. Not with the intention of like I wanted to see it, but I got like kind of stuck somewhere for 2 hours and was like, oh, I'll see a movie. Mm. And it was this or Dirty Grandpa, so I saw Fifth Wave.
You didn't want to see Zac Efron naked on a motorcycle?
I'm not a Zac Efron fan, personally.
Did he get a little bloated, or was that incident in Skid Row?
His like facial expressions are far too animated, and he kind of scares me.
So how bad was Fifth Wave? I heard it's pretty bad.
It's pretty darn bad.
Pretty darn bad, huh?
Did you wish you got, like, bad. Washed away by a big wave?
Yeah, no. I came out of it and was like, maybe I should have seen Dirty Grandpa, and then I read the reviews of Dirty Grandpa, and I was like, nope, there's no hope.
Nope,
nowhere to go. I was just failing no matter what.
I'm going to give Dirty Grandpa a shot.
Good report.
The thing about Fifth Wave is like they advertise it as this like apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. The aliens are coming.
It's like Independence Day style.
But they never like.
Never show the aliens?
No. Well, the aliens can occupy humans. I'm spoiling. Sorry.
Nobody saw it anyway. And nobody will.
But
that sounds like a budget save to me. Like, you can't afford aliens.
Exactly.
But they never dive into like how you can actually distinguish who's an alien and who's human. Of course they did. It's like a trilogy.
It ain't gonna work.
And also her hair and makeup is perfectly done through the whole entire apocalyptic universe, and that always bothers
me. Is she get scantily clad? Or is anything going on?
She has a romantic interest, but it's not too scantily clad. Okay.
So you can't tell by looking at them, basically. Like, they look like normal humans. The only way I would saw that movie is if Roddy Piper himself, rest in peace, was still around, and he put on some sunglasses and was like, I don't know how to say it. He came here to kick ass your bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. Yeah. That sounds like they live.
I still admire you for getting slapped by him. I admire you for a lot of things, but that's number one.
The Fifth Wave has generated $38 million worldwide, which is supposedly matching its $38 million budget. So I guess we're going to see the sequel.
No way.
We might.
With all the advertising, they'll be lucky to break even.
What do they call it? The Sixth Wave? Is that what it's called next?
I have no idea. It's like a franchise.
What happened to 1-2-3 Wave?
It all happens in the beginning of the movie, right?
1-2-3-4 Wave.
1-2-3-4?
Oh, it's like,
They do prequels, Star Wars stuff? This movie sucks. Nobody's going to watch it anyway.
Surprisingly, Paramount's The Big Short finished fourth internationally, bringing
$10 million
in 52 markets. So its new worldwide total is 87.4. The dramedy received a boost on the awards front Saturday night by, as JT said, winning the top movie prize in the Producers Guild of America.
It was a shocker. No one thought that was going to win.
And I didn't think we'd be talking about this again so soon.
Of course.
But Warner Brothers' Rocky spinoff Creed followed in fifth with $9.5 million in 38 markets to push the international total to 42 and the worldwide to 150 million.
Nice.
You know what? Creed's a certified blockbuster.
Yes.
It really honestly is.
Well, I mean, it was like a $30 million budget film.
And Stallone is sweeping the awards.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This guy
is
just going to. It's fantastic. I cannot wait to hear his Oscar speech.
L.A. If Stallone loses, we riot.
Oh, it'll be burnt down. No questions asked.
It's going down.
No questions
asked. Those are the international numbers. Yes. So we have an international number game. And guys, we are not running with much time left. So we're going to have to do this kind of speedily. Something like that. Do we have a theme song or not today?
I think we do.
There we go. It's time for the international title game.
Al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución. No los queremos.
There we go.
That was Bill Belichick looking at his roster for the offensive line of the Patriots.
Oh, boy.
And saying, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of all
get rid of everybody.
Well, we do.
He was under
okay.
so much pressure.
So today's no. game has a little bit of a change of plans, pace.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
normally, as we do this, we get some wonderful international mm-hmm. translated titles mm-hmm. of movies. We normally pick out
the fake
one. But this week, it's a little bit of a switch up. There is going to be three fake ones, one real one. So we are looking for what is true.
Yeah, I apologize because I am I'm going to Orlando with Copster.
That's right, yeah.
To shoot the Harry Potter convention over at Universal Studios.
Yeah, big trip.
Warner Brothers is paying for everything, which is, you know, kudos to them.
Mm-hmm.
They finally recognize what kind of talent that they're dealing with, and we're going to have a good time. They actually sent me all seven movies.
Really?
On Blu-ray.
Wow.
Do you want them?
No, I'll give them to you.
I love, thank you.
You can have them. It's going to cost you a little bit. Not money. But like maybe dinner or something, like a candlelight or something. Anyway, that being said, I gotta
I'll
watch.
I'll take you to a candlelight. Copster
was like, I gotta watch, because I never watched one.
Yeah.
So he's like, watch 5 and 8.
Okay.
And I should be able to know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Hopefully nobody from Warner Brothers is watching. Anyway, I saw every movie. I'm just kidding. Anyway, that being said.
Here we go.
The Finest Hour.
Yeah.
Which
and
is,
we're not, it's not all China.
Are you talking about The Finest Hours?
Yeah, whatever.
No it's one, coming out.
Anyway.
We're going to talk about it in a minute.
Yeah, it's from the Slovenian title. It's called The Perfect Storm.
Like The Perfect Storm?
Yeah.
They
stole the title?
Yeah, okay. The Perfect Storm.
People will get so confused.
I wonder what The Perfect Storm was called now.
Indonesia. Jane Got a Gun.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Natalie Portman movie.
Okay.
The Professional.
Again,
okay,
reusing a title.
These already exist. Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda 3
uh-huh.
from China. China Doll.
Why the doll? Okay.
Okay.
I feel like this is easier than our normal
and
ones.
And this movie here, which I think may be quite possibly, judging by the trailers, the worst movie of the year.
What's that?
50 Shades of Black.
Shed down. Yeah.
Black. Hooker.
I've actually read the 50
so which
Shades
one's
of Black
real
script.
So
which one is real is what I'm asking you.
I'm saying China Doll.
So once again,
China
Slovenia,
Doll.
The Finest Hours, The Perfect Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Indonesia, Jane Got a Gun, The Professional.
Nope.
China Doll.
Portugal, 50 Shades of Black, Black Hooker. Kung Fu Panda 3, China Doll.
China Doll. You wanted to put Black Hooker in there, so you wrote it.
Go
and
China
you
Doll
stole
too.
The other two titles.
I gotta go China Doll. I gotta go China Doll.
China Doll is a David Bowie song.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
China Girl.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Well, Doll's better.
Yeah.
Either way.
Girls
can call
Doll.
You know, yeah.
Hey, what up, Doll?
You guys are right. You guys are right.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't have a lot of time. I'm flying to Orlando.
That's what we call winging it, guys, but we did it.
Yeah, I'm flying to Orlando.
He's got too much Harry Potter.
Anyway,
if anybody's in Orlando, come check
so,
me out.
From our inspiration with
yeah,
Jane
there.
Got
Cops
a Gun, up. We're going to run through a top
yeah,
five movie list. And the person of the hour is Natalie Portman,
mm-hmm.
who, in connection with Jane Got a Gun, also has a connection to the Star Wars franchise. And I
mm-hmm.
think it's interesting that after coming out with Star Wars, she says her career barely survived.
Why is that?
Based on, well, people said she acted very badly in
but
it.
But she had
and directors
so
didn't want to work
but
with
the thing
her.
Is she had the any person that like says, oh, you weren't good in Star Wars, like watch The Professional.
I think just
see what
yes.
I did in that movie.
She was great in Black Swan.
Do you think
Swan
it was
too.
Me?
I mean, she got an Oscar for Black Swan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's white.
Yeah, she won. Not a,
she's white.
She got the Oscar for Black Swan.
I love her.
I think she's fantastic.
I think she's wonderful.
She's
I also
great,
love Daisy Ridley and
too.
Natalie Portman. They all kind of look alike. In
it,
a
was,
strange
it wasn't a body double in Your Highness either when she was diving. That was actually her ass.
Oh, Your Highness.
I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
with
let's
James
get
Franco,
into
yeah.
her top five. We're going to start with. Hold on. I have to group them in my
they
mind.
Can't all be Star Wars.
Cut out the Star Wars.
We're going to start with V for Vendetta.
Nice.
Yes.
I liked her in that. She's really good.
And I love this movie.
She actually looks really good with a bald head as well.
I agree.
Yeah, she pulled
that speech for a while. I don't remember it.
What do you think you would look like with a bald head?
Bald.
Yeah, but like, you think you would still be like smoking hot?
I don't know.
I used to have a bald head. Trix digged it.
Who's the guy that's it's Hugo Weaving, right?
Yeah,
Hugo
Weaving. Yes, and I love him. And
you never see his face, but he still gives such a great performance in this movie.
It's almost like Andy Serkis. It's almost like an Andy Serkis thing.
And this movie actually have a lot of people. This really is in the pop culture. People usually use it. Hackers are wearing the mask.
It was the last good picture that fucking Joel Silver has done.
Yeah, and John Rocha wore it right after we beat him in the show.
He did.
And its lifetime gross is $70.5 million, which is actually kind of lower than I expected.
But for rated R, that's not bad.
True.
It was a good film.
Yeah. Then up we go to No Strings Attached.
No sauce.
She was in that?
Yeah. It's really
similar.
With
Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
I always get confused because it's so similar to the other one.
Closer.
With Mila
Friends
Kunis
with
in it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I'm just like, who?
Which
was
Timberlake and
how is this connected?
My buddy was an extra bartender in that.
But No Strings Attached.
I think Ivan Reitman directed this movie. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Not mistaken, he probably did.
Yeah. 70.6 million.
That's when
million.
Those like Friends with Benefits movies were like, you know, out every 6 months.
Okay, but
now it's over with.
I mean,
now it's like multiple
that
Friends with Benefits.
No, that is a theme that comes up over and over again because it kind of touches on the whole can guys and girls be friends concept, and
they
that
can.
Always comes up in rom coms.
Yeah,
it's just never. It just
here's
recycled all the time.
Here's my theory on Friends with Benefits. Everybody needs somebody to have sex with.
Can't wait to hear this.
All right?
Go ahead. Yeah.
They always do.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if anybody doesn't, then they're doing something wrong. There should be somebody always, unless you have like a long-term boyfriend or girlfriend, at the drop of a dime or, you know, mm-hmm. A thing where you're like, hey, nobody's doing anything over here. Let's watch something and then like have sex. That's the way it should be.
Netflix and chill.
And yes, exactly. Somebody should always have a sex partner regardless.
That is your. Is that your like public service announcement for the day?
I mean, I can't remember the last time that I haven't had somebody I could dial up and be like, "Hey, you know, come over and want to have a good time with me." And usually, or the girl does it as well.
Well, congratulations.
Well, girls are more prone to having a sex partner than a guy is, because a girl always can do that. Listen, if you were single, you can call up any guy you want and be like, hey, come over and let's figure it out for ourselves.
Was that like supposed to be a statistic, or is that you just being like, in theory, I think a girl could get a guy to have sex with her, so in that way she is prone.
A girl could open her phone and press any number and be like, hey, what are you doing? And hopefully a guy answers and then he can come over immediately.
We're moving on to the next one.
I'm just saying.
Which is Black Swan.
Okay, Aronofsky.
Yes.
Good movie. Won her the Oscar.
I love, yes. I really like her. Almost every movie she's in, I'm like,
Aronofsky, right?
Aronofsky, yeah.
He's fantastic.
He followed this up after he did The Wrestler, which I love that movie.
If you could make a ballet movie
look good.
Yeah.
Then you're doing something right.
There's
talent in that.
It was like a dark gothic horror. Really interesting, and it's like a psychological thriller.
Yeah,
really.
Of course. Well, it's jealousy. Envy.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those movies I watched, and the second time I got more out of it the second time. And I feel like there's certain themes in the movie that I'm not sure if he's trying to convey. So I love
you
movies
just
like
put
that.
Them there.
Yeah, so I just love movies like that where you watch every time and try to be like, oh, is that what he's trying to do? Okay.
It's creepy.
It's great. Then we go into the world of Thor. So Thor
is closer. Is closer
the
not
world.
There?
Closer comes in at her list.
In my opinion,
just below
in my opinion, that was one
we're
of her best films.
Yeah, but we're talking money.
We're talking money.
Thor Dark World.
We should have talked about
both. They're right next to each other.
Natalie
so
Portman
Thor brought in 181. That was not the list of the week, and the Dark World brought 206. So those are her next contenders.
Those are
she's the love interest. Obviously,
I don't
people
even
go
remember
to
being
see
her in it. I mean, she's not even in that.
That's because she's not the center of that film at all. And then, of course, we have all of the Star Wars prequels.
Of course.
So, episode one, two,
she was in all three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is she complaining about? It ruined her career. She made a ton of money off that.
I mean, who knows how much she made off that?
She married some like violinist or something.
No, no, she married one of the guys from Black Swan.
Those, or a choreographer. Yeah,
same thing.
Guys, it's totally different.
No, it's not.
Those aren't connected. To
ballet,
Star Wars.
Choreography, listen, Star Wars. Violin playing. It's the same kind of. It's the same profession in my book.
Guys, if you're listening and you're young, start training to be a dancer right now.
Yes,
because
or throw a football. Training,
Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing, the guy was crushing it the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew how to dance, and he was teaching girls how to dance.
I'll tell you it's like a seduction. Girls love dancers.
I love that you two are advocating this.
I mean, I wish it's
coming from that
Here's
side of the table.
I was always, you know, fortunate enough to have special skills and genetics.
Okay, anyway.
That was able to get women.
We have to talk
now,
about
Now, if I didn't, I would definitely
movies.
Be in dance or ballet or playing the violin or like in the marching band or something like that. PSA. So if you're not good looking and don't have the genetics and a body or something like that, jump in on these kind of things and you'll definitely
this
get some girls.
This is PSA number two of the evening. All right, let's get into some upcoming films. Of course, we had this inspiration because of Jane Got a Gun, which is coming out basically with the help of her ex-fiance, played by Joel Edgerton.
Wait, it was great.
Ex-fiance?
He wrote it, actually.
I don't... It says ex-fiance. I'm guessing that's the character.
Oh, like, okay. The character. I thought you were talking about Natalie Portman. I was like, she's...
I'll speak. No. Good for him.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
With help from her ex-fiance, played by Joel
Edgerton. I didn't realize you were reading
Edgerton.
The synopsis.
Yes. Natalie Portman's character must avenge her family from a vengeful outlaw, played by Ewan McGregor, and some gang of killers in the Old West.
Yeah, this movie went through a lot of problems because they had an original director who like started the production that fell out, and then I think Gavin O'Connor is the director. And am I correct in that? It's Gavin O'Connor, the guy who did Warrior.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the guy did Warrior, who I like. I think he's a really decent director. And Warrior was a great movie. It's an interesting premise. It is a very old school Western premise.
I'm a really big fan of the cast, so I'll give it a shot.
Yeah,
is it rated R?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing some like reviews.
So that's possible, breast and ass.
Yeah.
Thanks. Need that.
So Jane Got a Gun is coming out. Also, Kung Fu Panda 3, which had a very star-studded premiere.
Yes,
voices of like Angelina Jolie.
Oh my God.
I believe Kate Hudson's in it.
I'm curious to see how
she put
does.
Up an Instagram picture the other day with her in a bathtub with her ass out.
Who did? It?
Kate Hudson.
Oh, I thought you said Angelina Jolie.
I did
Jolie.
Not.
Never mind.
No, Kate Hudson's
you
good.
Got so excited.
Kate Hudson's just as hot.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Also coming out is The Finest Hours, which I think
it's
from
bomb.
The trailers, it is going to bomb, but I think that if you do see it, it is the type of movie you see in 3D.
Really?
Is it 3D?
I think so.
Can I just say, I really hate CGI water.
It's the worst.
The whole thing literally takes place in
it's
CGI
the worst.
Water.
The reason I say that is just because I remember I've seen the trailers in multiple formats, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, the 3D trailer was so much better than the regular
That's
trailer.
That's one of the problems I had with, like, The Perfect Storm. You go back and watch that now, 90% of that movie, like, once the storm hits, it's all CGI water. Look at Titanic.
But
that
great
movie's
acting
amazing.
Is great
James Cameron built a boat and dunked it into the water.
It was amazing. That's why it's number two overall.
I'm done with CGI water.
All right.
I don't like CGI water either. I don't like CGI bodies either. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. So we've gone through
that today.
We've gone through the spectrum of problems. Diversity to CGI water. Fantastic. Also
Spike
coming
Lee.
Out is 50 Shades of Black.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want to take this one away?
Go.
Well, I'm filming 50 Shades of White right now. So we'll see.
Is that the story of the Ku Klux Klan? Like,
yeah,
is that a bio?
Yeah,
it's like, we can't go here, guys. This is just not
you're
okay.
You're in it. You don't even know yet.
We can't go here.
We're not shooting it yet.
Listen, this guy, Marlon Wayans has made one funny movie in my estimation, and that is Don't Be a Mess
on Central. Best Central to watch Ricky Juice in the Hood, which is the best spoof movie of all time.
It's amazing.
It is unbelievable on so many levels. But Scary Movie 1 was good, too.
Yeah,
now, apparently he wrote this.
But
he's
been horrible.
I really, really hope that the trailers
are just PG-13.
Are PG-13, and they're going to go hard in this thing because this is it looks terrible. Like
it looks
fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can't put it out there. I'm hoping that's the case. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't think it is.
Have you seen the clip they're showing when he goes on talk shows? It's when the girl goes to the elevator and the doors go, hits her in the head like, what is this?
It's
is that
not,
supposed to be funny?
It's not funny.
Okay.
It's not funny.
This
now,
is so bad.
What happens, I mean, hopefully there'll be no qualms about this winning an Oscar.
No, I don't think there will be.
So, You'll figure it
out. It might win another award.
Listen, you know what, though?
Show.
Marlon Wayans, I give you some respect because you're smart. You're cashing off.
The Wayne Brothers sitcom is fantastic.
He does a Paranormal Activity. He just spoofs whatever's popular at the moment, and he makes some money.
He makes them
for nothing.
I get it, but this is the movie that's not. This is not going to work. Him is Kardashian with the horse. It's not good.
Okay. We have less than 5 minutes left. So, how are these fantastic movies going to affect the box office?
Let's predictions do it quick and
times. So yes,
let's do it quick so we can get one call in.
Okay, I'll take it first. Away.
Obviously, Kung Fu Panda.
We didn't really talk about that. I think it's going to do.
This is going to do gangbusters. It's going to do probably 50 million.
It always makes like what it opened.
50 or 60.
It opened like 60 the first time. Went lower the second time. It might be a little lower this time. But guess what? There's nothing else out.
It might do. You know what? I'm going to predict it. I'm going to predict it at 40.
Wow, okay.
I can see that.
I'm also pitching a new thing for to Schmoes Know where when we do the new Phase 6 that I come on and do my top five every week.
Top five what?
Top five movies every week.
Like top five
movies? What we're doing right now. I'm going to have a segment on the Schmoes Show.
A little box
Christian
office.
Doesn't know it yet, but we're going to talk about it.
Okay, continue.
Number two.
Kung Fu.
I think the Chris Pine fans are going to come out here. I'm going to go with the Finest Hour.
Interesting.
Okay.
But I'm going to talk. We're going to. I think from 2 to 5 is going to be a difference between $1 or $2 million, just like it was this week.
Okay.
What you're going to see 3 is, I think people may give.
What are you about to say?
50 Shades of Black a shot.
Here. I agree. I think it has some potential.
They may give it a shot. I think they may give. You know, I think you might see it at 12. Or something like that. To be like, hey, let's give it a shot.
Sometimes people just want to go turn their brains off and laugh at stuff.
Right, exactly. Man. And I have a feeling that's not going to happen. I don't want to blow the brains out after this movie.
Yeah.
Number four, I think you're going to see Revenant. You know, hopefully the snow's gone in the east. And 5, I think you're going to see Star Wars, you know, still trucking along probably around 12. My opinion.
Interesting.
Okay.
So Kung Fu Panda at 40. Finest Hour, maybe 16. 50 Shades of Black at 14, maybe 13.
Mm-hmm.
Revenant, 11. Star Wars, 10-9.
Okay. JT, take it away.
Kung Fu Panda 3, obviously.
Yes.
I think it might be close to 50, because I don't think there's been a kids movie out for a while now. No one's seen Norm of the North.
I think 45, 50 is a close.
No one's seen Norm of the North. Number two, this is where I struggle. I'm going to, just to differ from you, I'm going to say 50 Shades of Black. He's smart. He knows people are going to see that and be like, oh, this could be funny.
Well, 2 for 4 for 5, like I said.
Yeah. So
very simple.
It's going to be very close. And then I'll go Finest Hour. Then I'll go Revenant. And then I'll go...
I think Ride Along could overtake it with the snow gone.
That's what, it's over Star Wars. That's what,
it beat it by 2 million.
Number 5 will go Star Wars. Sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Boom.
Stanley Lee had it at 5 last week. Or Stanley Wong. Star Wars at 5.
Yeah, he might have won the whole thing.
No, he's wrong.
We're going to go with, yes, Kung Fu Panda. I also am going to give it to 50 Shades of Black. Then The Finest Hours. I need to be different
right
than you.
So you're going to go Revenant, and then something else for number 5?
Are you going to go see 50 Shades of Black?
No.
All right.
I might go see Jane's Got a Gun.
I will see Jane's Got a Gun, but it's not going to be – not enough people are going to go see that.
No.
Wait, what did you say for 4 and 5 again?
Number 4 for me was Revenant. Number 5 was Star Wars.
Damn it.
So he's one off of mine. Mm-hmm. Technically.
Yeah, we're just all neck and neck.
Yeah,
and
it's tough.
Big to be different. We'll just switch them then.
Okay.
We'll just go Star Wars, then Revenant. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a $2 million difference. Ride Along, then?
Because I know.
You don't want to have 2 black movies in the top 5?
Ride Along has horrible reviews, and I didn't want it to be in the top 5 when it debuted.
What about Dirty Grandpa?
Also awful.
Maybe, you know what? I'll give you all the Harry Potter DVDs. If you go see a Dirty Grandpa 50 Shades of Black double feature with me. My treat.
50. Okay.
All right, done.
All right, done. We have 3 minutes left. We can take one caller if someone's on the line. I know we were having some issues with Skype, so if you haven't been able to get through, that was why we tried to hold
Boss
off
Turner
and
sleeper.
See if anyone can fix it.
Let's
but
this
it just got fixed, and now we're leaving.
Next week, guys.
Yeah, we're going to be a hell of a lot more prepared. Today was a big. This was a big week for everybody.
It was championship day.
Yeah, it was championship day. There's a lot of different stuff going on.
I mean, I was here. I don't know. Anyway,
you were in traffic.
I was in traffic, but that's different. Yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. Please, you know, subscribe. Mm-hmm. Go see the other shows on the Popcorn Talk Network. There's so much to talk about. Basically, if you like any type of movie, any company, there's like Disney Movie News, DC, Marvel, a whole spectrum of stuff to go out.
Yeah, Sundance is going on right now. Yeah. I heard there's a lot of fantastic indie movies.
We're going to have some comments on that.
Which is great.
Also, I'll just throw this out there. Follow me at Schmoes JT. But I just launched a new show on my iTunes channel called JTE Movie News.
I like that.
So I'm doing two shows a week, JT Movie Things with a different guest every week.
Can I be a correspondent on that show?
Yeah, I think we might have to get you on for a new show.
Yeah, I like
And then every Thursday, Friday morning, I release a show with Ace where we go over the movie news.
I like that.
And awesome.
Maybe a and stock show.
Yeah, catch me. Yeah, absolutely. Catch me in Orlando for the Harry Potter convention. And if you guys are there, hit me up. We'll meet you anywhere in Orlando if you buy me something for free. And with Copter.
Buying someone something implies that it would be free
Twitter,
for you.
Obviously. Yeah. Period. Poof.
At @Sarah_Stretton. Yes. I'll be here. But you guys enjoy your week.
Keep watching those numbers.
Poof.
Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.